the week leading up to Holy Week. So it's been really nice to see so many people. Especially it helps when the schools are closed and everybody's able to attend, but it's been nice to see the church packed every service. And so what are we here doing? Like, we're here praying, we're here seeing the cross, right? We know what this day is about, and we know what this week is about, and we get used to it, right? We go through the motions. This week has multiple names. We call it Holy Week. We call it Pascha Week. And it's called Holy Week not only because of we do holy things or we're in a holy place, but that the goal of this week is for us to be holy. This is what this week is about. The transformation of our life from death to life. That's why it's called Pascha Week, Passover Week. Yes, we look at the true Passover, which is our Lord, but in it, we are thinking about our own Passover as well, in Christ, that we go from death to life. This week is filled with many readings, many prayers. I just asked the deacons to do a little math problem for me, to find out how many Thok Tetigoms we say from Sunday until the next hour. This, the 12th hour, is the last Thok Tetigom that we're going to be doing. I'm not going to ask for guesses, but it's 636. 636 Thok Tetigoms, which means there's way more Lord's prayers, because after each Thok Tetigom, before we start and in between each one, we're doing the Lord's Prayer. Before we start the service, at the end of the service. And so, like I mentioned, there's many holy things that are happening this week. But before we can figure out how to truly become holy, how to really go from death to life, we have to know how we got here. How we got to this point. How we came to the understanding of Good Friday. And so it's beautiful that the church puts before us the readings, right? And in the beginning of Holy Week, on Monday morning, the first reading we read is the story of creation. It was as if to say, okay, you want to really be transformed this week? With the culmination being today, Good Friday, and of course, the resurrection. This is the climax of it. But in order to understand, we have to kind of see how it started. And the church is telling us from the very beginning, Monday in the first hour is creation, and then the ninth hour is the fall. Or as St. Athanasius calls, the divine dilemma, right? And when we look at the creation, God created us, and when he created the whole world, he said it was good. He created the plants, it was good. The animals, it was good. The stars, the sun, the light, everything he created was good. When he created man, he described man as very good. And when he called man very good, he gave man three main things. And this is what we want to talk about. Three main characteristics. The first is we know that we're made in his image and likeness. We were made in his image and likeness. The second, he gave us the gift of free will or of choice to choose. He gave us that is out of his love, because love can't be real love without choice. It's not love at that point. So he gave us the ability to love by giving us free will. And lastly, he gave us hunger. I know it's hard to talk about hunger on a day like today, or a day or this week leading up to the feast, right? But he gave us the desire to hunger, like the feeling, the need, the necessity of eating. And so those three things are repeated throughout the scripture. And so we're going to be talking about three main things that God pointed out in order for us to get to this point and ultimately to the resurrection. The first is he created the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is the first tree that is acknowledged in the scripture. And it confuses a lot of people. Why would God plant a trap? Why would God put a tree that is a trap for us to fall? But it wasn't. The tree is put there on purpose. God placed it for us. But he gave a command, and he said, not now. The tree is there, and it has its purpose. It's not a trap. It's not to see, oh, let me see if they fall here. No, the tree has a purpose. But it was not ready for us to take from. So that's why he told us not to eat of it, lest we may die. Or surely die. And so the idea is, the tree is good. Everything God created is good. God did not create evil. But with that tree came a command. With that command came a choice, came our ability to use our free will. And because we chose to disobey, or we chose not to listen to Christ, and to eat, and to basically follow our own hunger, that's when the mess that we're in happened, the great fall. But it's something really interesting about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Jewish tradition says that it was a fig tree. And it's really interesting because the reason why they think that is because that once the sin happened and the Adam and Eve realized their sin, what was the first thing they did? When they realized that they sinned and they were naked, they covered themselves with fig leaves. And so the Jewish tradition has it that when they realized right away, so they were closest to that tree, and they just found the leaves and they covered themselves. And so it's really interesting that man ran to cover themselves with the tree, with the leaves of the fig tree. And as we know, and we're going to get into that, the fig tree leaves has a lot of symbolism in that it displays work. It displays actions, right? And so when we look at the fig tree, or when we look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it wasn't a bad tree, but we didn't obey the command. Man was hungry. Like Adam and Eve were hungry. And that's why when the temptation came to eat, and the temptation for more knowledge and to be like God, as Satan tricked them into believing, they got excited. They were hungry. And so their hunger, although they could eat from anywhere else, they chose to disobey God and to choose from that tree. It was hunger, but at the wrong time. It was hunger at the wrong time. We all know what that means, right? Hunger is a part of our life. But when we get hungry at the wrong time, it's a problem. And so this is the first problem. And then throughout there, God was pointing us to salvation by using the tree, using different trees. We know that he created another tree in the garden called the tree of life. We'll get to that. And then, but throughout history, and if you paid attention to the prophecies, especially today, it was a lot of the concept of the cross. Where, for example, he put, when the Israelites got sick, God told Moses to put a bronze serpent. The bronze serpent looked like a cross. It was in the shape of the cross. And when that happened, what happened when you looked at it? You were healed. Or when their blessings happened. When people bless, and we still do this to this day, when we take the offering, they bless like this. They cross their hands in the form of a cross. And that's why when Abuna chooses the offering, he does the sign of the cross first, and then pulls the bread. And so, or even when Moses and the Israelites, they were fighting through Amalek, they asked, God told Moses, go stand, put your hand up, and as long as your hand is up, you will be winning the war. Once his hands were tired, what happened? They started losing. So Moses brought two people to help him carry his hands in the shape of a cross, because through the cross, they were saved. So we see all of these examples. But because of the problem of sin, because of the fall, God had to come. God became man. This is what St. Athanasius taught us. That he came, became man for our salvation. So he came to live in our world. He came to teach. He came to heal. But he also came to save us. And this week is about our salvation. And so, Monday, he told us about the creation and the fall. Tuesday, we hear about the fig tree. Or even Monday evening, we hear about the fig tree. And why would Christ mention this story? Why is this story even... It seems like an irrelevant story. That wasn't the focus. He was going by and he got hungry. Again, going back to hunger. Christ was hungry. So he stopped and saw a tree. And he knows. He created it. He knows the type of tree. And that was a fig tree. And he saw that it had leaves. So what did he do? He went. And there was no fruit. And he cursed it. And he was angry. He was angry at the tree. Why? Because the tree was covering its own nakedness with its leaves. The same as Adam and Eve. It was covering by actions. And so we look at the fig tree. And we see, well, what was the point of this, God? Why are you showing us another tree? Why is this part of this week? To show us, to lead us, and to teach us that Christ gets angry at when we sin. He gets upset. Not that he gets upset with us. He's hurt. He despises sin. Not us. He loves us. There's nothing we can do that will make him love us more or less. Even if we sin all the time, he still loves us. But he came to destroy sin. And he came to give us an opportunity to renew that image in us. And then we see the cross. What is the cross? And I love this cross here. We made it, we had somebody make it for us in Egypt a few years ago. And it's, if you notice it, it looks like a tree. The back of it is a tree, because the cross is known as a tree, even in the hymns. And so what kind of tree is this when we look at the cross? What kind of tree? It's actually the tree of life, going back to Genesis. When we look at the tree of life in Genesis, doesn't it sound like an incomplete story? God created the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God created the tree of life, but we never hear anything about the tree of life because they were kicked out. Adam and Eve were removed from the Garden of Eden. Why? Because to protect them from the eternal life of sin. Because the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, At that moment, that was the turning point of creation. Yes, it was in chapter 2 and 3, but that was the turning point. God created man for a purpose, and we messed up. Something has to happen. So when we look at the tree of the cross, it is the tree of life. And like every tree, it has a fruit. So what is the fruit of the cross? When we look at the cross, what is the fruit? The fruit is Christ, who is eternal life. That's the fruit. And so today, just want to mention a little bit about what it means as we stand here staring at the cross, that we eat of the fruit of the cross. So, yes, he does. And when we look at the cross and we look at Christ as the fruit, we look at it as eating the fruit of the cross means, one, to take communion, the Eucharist. That is the fruit of the cross. Every liturgy that we attend, we partake of the fruit of the cross. The same way sin entered into the world through the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we are saved and transformed and given eternal life by the fruit of the cross, which is the Eucharist. The second thing is the commitment to his commands. Every time you eat of the cross, you're committing to him. You're committing to his commandments that he's given us. It's very clear. The Genesis command to Adam and Eve was very clear. Eat anything you want. Don't eat this. It wasn't tricky. And God's command to us is the same. He told us when he came, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That is the fruit of the cross. If you eat of the fruit of the cross, we're called to follow his command. The next is we ought to crucify our sin. Crucify our sin. We look to the cross. The cross is known as a punishment, right? It's a punishment. It's a death sentence. But what happened is the cross became transformed to a place where we can put our sins. That's why when you go and you confess, how does the confession end? With Abuna putting his cross, the cross of Christ, on your head, and prays the absolution. And that sin then is absolved. We're also called to carry our cross. We look to the cross and see our struggles. And we look to the cross and we see we're not alone. Christ is with us, carrying our cross with us. We're never alone. We're never alone with our struggles. And like yesterday in the talk last night, when Archie was saying, our prayer has to change. When we look to the cross, that we ask not that God removes our cross, but rather that he carries the cross with us. That he strengthens us to get to carry the cross. And lastly, that when we look to the cross, his love, we ought to also love one another. And we look to love. We look for opportunities to love. And that's what being a Christian is about. That's what today is about. Is that we experience his love and we then go off and find every opportunity to show people love. So we go from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the fruit of that being sin to the fig tree, where it represented hypocrisy and where the state of man at the time, where we weren't where we were supposed to be, to the tree of life, which is the cross, going back to paradise. But now the cross opens up a different paradise for us. We're not going back to the Garden of Eden. We're going to heaven. And every time we pray a liturgy, every time we come and take communion, we are entering into heaven through the tree of life or the cross of Christ and partaking of of the fruit of the cross, and glory be to God forever. Amen.